Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. T&Cs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Today's episode trigger warnings are very heavy, so please proceed with caution. Splatterpunk, rape, bodily fluids, child abuse, murder, explicit sexual content, and desecrating religious objects.
If you're remotely religious, just listen to a different episode.
Yes.
Please.
And I have a Spotify comment, and this comes from Bella. Oh my God, I started listening to you guys a couple months ago, and I am addicted. You're all so funny and cute, and should know I look forward to each podcast. Thanks for being my favorite part of the day. I would also love to continue the Ice Planet Barbarian series, if you are okay with it.
IPB! Yeah.
Thank you, Bella.
And this week, we're telling Riley all about Father Forgive Me by Jessa Riot. Stay tuned to the end of the episode if you want to hear all of our ratings. So the story opens up with an ad from a user named Father Forgive Me, and he's tagged as a sub. So it seems kind of like a FetLife type situation, and that's his username.
Okay.
He's requesting a sadistic, mean femdom for taboo religious roleplay in public settings, serious inquiries only. Immediately, Unholy Mistress, who's a female dominatrix, is like, message me immediately if you're serious. And this is our female main character, Jezzy. She is stoked because this is right up her little taboo alley. Just the imagery of the Catholic Church gets her going. She loves it.
All right.
Not to mention, this user wants to pay whoever can fulfill his fantasy, so that's an added bonus. Just then, she gets a Cash App notification telling her that $1,666 was sent to her as tribute to the unholy goddess. Father Forgive Me messages her, telling her that he sent payment to show that they're serious about the inquiry. They want to send her gifts to be used during their time together. She's shocked because the most she's ever gotten from someone like this was like $300.
Okay, $1,600.
And 66. Don't forget that. It's right. 1666.
I'm in the wrong line of business.
Yeah, me too.
Be a dominatrix.
I don't know if I have it in me. I'm a bit vanilla.
Yeah.
I could do like online where you like get to like tell boys they're dumb, fat, and ugly for money.
Oh, pay
that's
pigs.
My dream job.
100%.
Yeah, drain your bank account, little piggy.
Yeah, you porky ass bitch.
Yeah. Even though the money's in her account, she's streetwise and isn't putting this person past being some sort of scammer. She ultimately decides to go ahead with making arrangements, but will keep her guard up if she senses any funny business. Then she starts to wonder, is this a dude? She's pretty sure it is, but she's not 100% sure. She responds and is like, okay, so what exactly are we trying to set up here? And they say, first off, if any of this gets out in their real life, they are totally fucked. They're wanting to drown in her sin and receive both pain and pleasure from her. They're on their knees begging her, and then they ask for confirmation that she is both hateful and cruel. Then they send another $1,666 and a message begging for relentless cruelty, and they ask if she's willing to give the lowest form of man this most humble request. Now she's telling herself this guy better not ask her to like kill him and eat his flesh or something weird like that, which we definitely have covered in a book.
Yeah. Yeah, we have. But also like to kill a man for like $3,000.
I mean, he asked me to.
That's like almost two paychecks. I'll do that.
Most of the time, she deals with regular, degular, schmegular dudes with families at home and makes them wear frilly little panties to their blue-collar jobs. And then when they meet in person, she'll make them crawl around and, like, spank them and stuff. That's pretty much the most taboo thing she's done in real life through this website.
Okay, fun.
Yeah, but this sounds like something else entirely. But she's more than a little intrigued to indulge this darker side of herself and make some money while she's at it. She replies and she's like, I'm listening. They respond for some reason asking her about her remote control vibrator that she has displayed on her website. And she's like, what the fuck? And tells them if they want any of that information, she needs to know what they identify as and what exactly they have going on to play with.
My apologies, goddess. I am a man, a worthless, subhuman waste of one, as it were. Between my legs, I have an old shriveled excuse for what once was a thriving cock. Now it is old and gray, like the rest of me, absolutely not worthy of you or your presence, ready to be abused. Ick.
Yucky. <Yeah. laughs> She replies telling him how fucking gross that is and how dare you speak to me that way while existing in such a pathetic state. And he agrees with her, but says he also has access to a lot of money and a very specific scene he wants to play out in real life. He sends another $1,666 and asks for her to get on cam so they can talk and he can arrange getting control of her vibrator. She's like, okay, fine, but she wants to be the only one on camera. She doesn't want to look at some ugly dude while she comes.
Fair.
Yeah.
Who would want to look at that?
Not me.
They hop on. He thankfully keeps his camera off and she sends him the link to control her vibrator and pops it inside of herself. She's already a little soaky from whatever is going on right now and starts playing with her clit before this mystery man even sends any vibrations her way. He types in the chat that she looks absolutely stunning and she's literally wearing a band tee and smeared eyeliner. So she's like, okay. And he asks if she feels it as he starts to control her vibrator. She says she does and asks if his touch would feel as nice as this. And he's like, I wish. I only wish to please you despite what I am.
A man.
Ew.
Is he like actually just super hot?
You'll see.
Okay.
She tells him she commands him to be on his knees and he is not to touch his sad excuse for a penis until she grants him permission to do so. And that's his new rule from this moment going forward. And he says, yes, goddess. He changes up the tempo, now she's really getting into it, and she undresses and starts caressing herself all up and down her body while she gyrates in her chair. He tells her that she's an absolute goddess, and he knows he made the right choice with her. He tells her that he wants his role play to happen at a specific Catholic church and gives her the details on the scheduled masses that occur every week, but she's not really even able to focus on what the fuck he's typing because the vibrator is getting really intense. Because since he doesn't have his camera on, she's talking to him, and he's just typing back, so she's having to read these like walls of messages that he's sending her while she's like,
I'd be like, turn your audio on.
Nah.
Okay. I rest both bare feet on the seat of my chair, drawing my knees up and spreading them apart. I see my beautiful mini goddess on the camera. She is perfect and plump with her strange pink antenna sticking out, dribbling her nectar down the crack of my ass. I gently unfold her petals and use my index and middle finger to open her lips, allowing my thumb to rub small circles around my pulsating clit. My remaining fingers glide down my soaking slit, stopping at the entrance of her temple. The vibrating pink guest begins summoning a tornadic waterspout, ready to erupt from its rhythmic dance. Quickly, I slip two fingers inside and withdraw them. She has drenched them perfectly in ocean foam. I slide the travelers back up along the opening of my mini goddess's robe and rest my dripping fingertips on my throbbing clit. Ocean foam.
She refers to her vagina as her mini goddess this entire book. She loves her vagina.
Confident.
She focuses enough to realize this dude wants this to happen in an actual church, and now she's like, oh, fuck yeah, and looks back to the screen to admire her perfect mini-goddess, and asks the mystery man if he sees how perfect she is, and did he expect her to be this flawless? Then she says she agrees to the terms so far, so please continue. He tells her his sad penis really likes what it's seeing, and he isn't even touching himself as he promised. He tells her there are three confessionals at the church. In one of them, he wants her to demand to hear his confession, and he needs to be humiliated and punished aggressively while there are unknowing people outside the booth who could witness his shame at any moment. He'll pay for the travel, the toys, and the clothing, as well as an additional $15,000 when the scene is over.
Wow.
I know. A steal of a deal.
Yeah.
She's still in the throes of her pleasure, but perks up at the mention of $15,000 and says, okay, go on. He begs to be able to touch himself, but she says, don't you fucking dare. The only thing you're gonna use your pathetic hands for is to type out who you are and what your big secret is. Now squeal, little piggy. Now she's pissed at the audacity of this guy. How dare he ask to touch himself?
How difficult is it to shut the fuck up and just answer a goddamn question? Seriously. This anger gets my blood pumping and I slap my pussy a few times in the face, acknowledging her and her neediness. The love taps encourage extra blood flow, sent down to her via the sting of the brief, sharp contact with the palm of my hand. She is awake, drooling, and hungry. Come on, forgive me. Tell me what I need to know. Make it good, make it hot, and make me come. Or let me get the fuck off of here and go do it myself. Yeah, girl.
Hungry mini goddess.
Slapper.
Right in the face.
His username is FR, forgive me, but I guess that's the abbreviation for father, FR.
Oh.
Like MRS is Mrs.
Got
I had to Google it. I was like, for real, forgive me. What are you talking about?
For real.
He says, yes, mistress. I am just a piggy and my cock is yours. I live to obey you. He tells her the church is in the outskirts of New Orleans and his name is David. He's a deacon. He has a wife that he's only seen naked 3 times in 11 years. And he has 2 children. His wife teaches piano to children along with a convent of nuns. And he tells his mistress that his wife is homely, which like fucked up. He's like, my wife is super ugly.
Yeah. Homely is like the worst insult, I feel like. Ever.
Yeah, yeah. And he says she neglects her wifely duties.
I found that her panties are often stained and smell like a mixture of cat piss and vomit. I can't remember what a real pussy smells like, but I cannot imagine it being so vile and nauseating. Sometimes there are streaks of blood, shit, and a gray-green discharge clotted there. Ooh. I can, like, picture it. What the fuck? Yuck. Left on the giant mass of crusted, disintegrating beige material. Crumbled up on the laundry room floor. I am a lowly and filthy piggy goddess. I have begun a ritual where I gather the soiled panties by the crotch, then ball it up, insert it to my mouth, and begin to chew. Why would you do that?
Why is her discharge green and gray?
She needs to go to the OB.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why is his dick gray? Why is he gray?
They're both just gray people.
Oh, God. Why is he chewing on it? If he thinks it's so nasty.
Well, he says that he does this until he starts gagging, and then he grabs his sacrilegious shot glass that features an upside down cross, and he spits the mixture in there and puts it in the freezer. Then he takes his own undies off and replaces them with his wife's dirty panties, takes out a baking sheet filled with broken glass and Legos, and kneels on it while he takes the chilled shot of bodily fluids from the glass, and then does his penance on his knees. So that's how he punishes himself.
Who the fuck comes up with shit like this? What the hell?
Deacon David.
That's crazy.
Uh-huh.
It's disgusting.
Yeah. Then he'll get dressed, still wearing the panties, head to the church and do his priestly duties with his like dischargey, shitty, barfy breath.
Yeah.
He also says he hasn't brushed his teeth in 10 years.
People smell that.
So he keeps the doo-doo, the pissy doo-doo mouth as like penance.
Yeah, he's punishing himself.
Yeah, and punishing anybody in his vicinity as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Jesse is like, oh my God, what a fucking loser. But she continues trying to get herself off in front of the camera. This fucking freak is still typing and tells her next weekend is the only time he'll have use of this confessional. He'll pay for airfare and her hotel room. He says that he wants to come and freeze it until they meet where he will consume it in front of her. So he's like, I'll come, put it in an ice cube tray. I'll bring my cummy ice cube and you can watch me pop it in my mouth. If that pleases you, mistress.
You know what? As long as like I don't have to eat it, why not?
Yeah.
She says, okay, fuck, fine. Book everything and I'll allow you to come when I count down. But you'd better not bust until I clearly say one. He thanks her and says he is ready to explode.
Hold your breath until it is time. Hands off the keyboard. Keep one on your lame cock and the other you can use to shove your fist into your dirty asshole and shut the fuck up, Deacon David. Beta pig boy of God, there is no forgiveness. Yeah.
Fist your asshole. Shut the fuck up. What a queen.
Yeah. Also scary. I don't want to see a man fist his own asshole.
Well, she doesn't have to see it. He's not on camera.
That's true.
Yeah.
I don't even want to think about that.
Yeah. She counts down from 4, and just as she's about to reach 1, she reaches down, pulls her vibrator out, and squirts all over her computer screen. Finally, he's given permission, but when she notices he's typing again, she just shuts her laptop down. She's like, I can fucking not, and just, nope.
Yep.
She grabs her phone and texts her friend Parker all of the details on David and what the fuck he wants her to do, plus the screenshots of all of the cash apps he sent. Parker is like, he wants to do a scene with you in a confessional during an actual mass. That's fucking hot and I want to watch. Parker matches her freak.
Yes. I feel like if you're like that, you need friends that will match that.
Yeah. She gives him all of the identifying information on David that she got during their conversation, and he tells her he's going to try and figure out who this dude is. And we also learn that Parker and Jesse have this complicated situationship and are basically best friends who are in love with each other.
Oh.
Yeah. But it's, like, not complicated. I mean, it's complicated, but it's not. They fuck, and they love each other, and it is what it is. She gives him permission to log on to her site to look through the conversation with David for anything else he might need to track him down. And then Parker FaceTimes her, telling her that David has been messaging her nonstop since she logged off and also wants to send her an additional $10,000 deposit. She's like, what the fuck? What do the messages say? And Parker tells her that David sent her the room info, and Parker tells her he'll book a room across the courtyard so he can go with her. With the layout of the hotel, they should even be able to see into each other's windows, which is like kind of sexy for them.
Yeah.
He tells her David also said he's going to leave specific instructions for her inside the hotel room and a bunch of other messages about how unworthy he is and how pristine her pussy is and how he wants to be with her and yada, yada, yada. Parker tells her this whole thing seems extra sketchy and just to be careful. And Jesse's like, well, that's why I have you. But Parker is serious and tells her to at least let him know beforehand when she starts talking to David again. She's like, OK, yeah, fine. I'm going to go to bed now. And he's like, yes, goddess, I'll be up if you need me. So he's also her sub and she's his goddess.
Oh.
A week passes and Jesse has finally had it with David's constant messages, and he's been ordered to leave her the fuck alone until it's time for them to meet. But before the radio silence, she gave him a list of very specific rules to follow.
Now, he must abstain from consuming the ice cubes of his own jizz he walks around sucking on all day. Those are to be ingested inadvertently by his wife by the way of coffee creamer.
How would you not know that your coffee's off? I would clock that immediately.
I mean, if she's married to a man who hasn't brushed his teeth in 10 years.
That's true. That is very true.
Mm-hmm.
I know what cum tastes like. I would clock that.
Yeah.
Is there cum in this?
Excuse me?
The time comes and she's now at her hotel just outside of New Orleans. She spies a black lace bag on her bed and a note addressed to Goddess. She snaps a picture and sends it to Parker, who's already in his room across the courtyard, and they agree over text to read it at the same time because it's long as fuck. So everything this guy says is just a wall of text.
The worst.
She runs herself a bath with a blood red bath bomb and texts Parker, okay, let's start reading. They hop on FaceTime where Parker shows her that he's also in the bath. Then they start on the letter. It tells Jesse that tomorrow at 5 a.m., David will be dropping a pin on the location they are to meet. She can use the Lyft gift cards in the bag to get there. She reaches into a pocket on the bag and finds a ton of gift cards, each labeled to be worth $666, which is so much.
Yeah.
There are 20 gift cards in total for places like Sephora, Walmart, Amazon, Whole Foods, etc.
Ah, love that.
What a dream.
Yeah.
The note says when she gets inside the church, try not to draw too much attention. Sit in the back of the pews and look for the confessional labeled Father Craig Rogers. Confession ends at 7 a.m. and she should be the last one in line. Additionally, nobody knows that Father Craig is out, so Deacon David will be doing confessions in his place. It's behind a screen, so nobody will notice. She will refer to him as Father Craig. She will begin the confession, and then at any point after that, he would like her to begin abusing him through the screen and demand that he confess instead. All the while, David will still be pretending to be Father Craig, who is oblivious to whatever she may be talking about. It's a whole thing.
Okay.
So David's like, I'm going to be like, no, I'm Father Craig, but I'm David, and you have to abuse me.
Right.
She's given permission to bring him as close to death as possible. No safe words. Do not let up on him until he confesses his sins. At this point, she can exit the church and $15,000 is scheduled to be deposited to her account at 11 a.m. If she does not complete the mission, she gets nothing. If she goes above and beyond, the amount is doubled.
Oh my God.
It's so much money. After that final deposit, she will never hear from him again. He has been planning this for a very long time, and all he wants is for her to destroy him. Parker's like, God damn, this is wild. And she's like, yeah. He tells her he'll be watching the whole time from his phone in the pew, rubbing his dick during mass, and he's super fucking excited. So Parker is like beyond on board.
I mean, they're freaks. How could you not be?
Two peas in a pod. She looks at him through the screen and gets this intense sense of longing and has to stop herself from running across the hotel to be with this man.
Now that business is taken care of, her and Parker decide to have a little phone sex, but she doesn't let him touch himself. She makes him watch as she touches her breasts and pulls at her nipples, and then she asks him to hold up two fingers on his right hand and show her where they belong.
I stare at him intensely. Parker rises out of the water and turns on all fours. His dick is erect and pointing wildly at everything that surrounds him. With his ass directly in view, he spreads his cheeks a bit with a soft moan and inserts both fingers into his hole. Yeah, that's where they belong.
She instructs him on how she wants him to finger his ass while she starts rubbing her clit. She makes him stop to watch her come, and he's refrained from coming until they can finally meet up in person. The next morning, 5 a.m. on the dot, the location pin is shared. She snorts two lines of coke and she gets ready.
Okay, hell yeah.
She's a girl who loves her coke.
She does it quite often.
Mm-hmm. Oh, to be young again.
She grabs everything she's going to need and then gets into her lift. The garment bag, suitcase full of sex toys, her own bags, and her lace purse. She arrives at the church stowing her lace bag in the graveyard next to it. She snaps a photo of its location and sends it to Parker. Then she enters through the back door per David's instructions. She spots Parker in the third to last pew, and it takes everything in her to not run to him. She goes to the confessional that David instructs and waits in line behind an older gentleman and a mom with a baby. The gentleman goes first, then the mom, and when the mom leaves with her crying baby, she thinks to herself, it's time for David to cry. Inside the very large confessional, it smells disgusting. And this is not like a normal like booth. One area is like a waiting area with like a little couch situation, and then where you'd kneel next to the partition where the priest sits, and then that person has its own.
Okay.
She sprays some body spray and then kneels on the kneeler.
In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. It has been many years since my last confession. These are my sins. I often masturbate while fantasizing about fucking a dirty priest in a confessional much like this one. It makes my pussy drip down my thighs when I think of him on his knees, cleaning up her flowing liquids with his heathen tongue. I suppose this is something Jesus would not find appropriate. Correct, Father?
Jesus is just up in heaven watching this, being like, oh my fucking God.
Guys, you're not supposed to talk like that. She walks into the wrong confessional. The other guy's like,
get out.
When she's finished, he asks if there's more that she wants to confess. She says, yeah, but she's got to have a moment to think of all of them because, you know, so many. He tells her that's fine, and she stands up getting her tripod and phone ready in a place that she thinks is very aesthetic and then hits record. Then she goes around the partition and sees David. He's a healthy, older-looking gentleman and not what she was expecting. He tells her to have a seat and she says, you'll be the one kneeling. And then she manhandles him to the ground with his collar thing. Then she cuffs him to a chair and he pisses himself because he's so fucking scared. And she slaps him, telling him that he's bad. She then gags him and he starts crying, but she doesn't care if she was told not to stop.
Oh my God. Also, why would he piss himself? You asked for this. Why are you scared? It just started.
She undresses into her tiny PVC dress and gropes her tits before taking the PVC dress off. She grabs a cotton dress from the bag and uses it to clean up his piss.
From my waist, I stand back up straight, turn around, and in one swift motion, pull his little scarf from his mouth. I replace the ornate garment with my sopping dress, soaked through with his ammonia-smelling old man piss. With the toe of my boot, I shove it deep into his throat. Dirty Father Craig audibly gags and begins retching. Fun.
Shoves his own peepee in his mouth.
She pulls it out, telling him how fucking gross he is, and then she pulls a knife from her bag, cutting her panties off and throwing them at his face. Next, she grabs his face so hard, her stiletto nails pierce his skin on his cheeks, and he starts bleeding everywhere.
Kill him.
She's not messing around.
No. Then she pours Listerine into his mouth, making him swallow it. She pours more and then makes him swish and spit, then shoves her PVC dress into his mouth and wipes his face off with Clorox wipes.
Oh.
Yeah.
She's like, my bag's got a lot of shit in it.
It's like a Mary Poppins bag.
Yeah.
Also, here's some mouthwash, finally.
Yeah. Doing you a favor.
She grabs her knife, cutting open his shirt and removing his collar. She puts the collar on her forehead like a weird tiara thing. And she's like, I feel fucking powerful.
She's crazy.
He tries to cross his legs and that's when she sees his bulge.
Standing before him with my pussy still proudly on display, I reach down and run my hand along his disgusting cock. Oh my God, Father, you are such a sinner. Is this for me? As I tighten my grip on what the man accurately described as his sad cock, it throbs and begins to jump within my grasp.
He likes it.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games as all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
She pulls his pants and his piss-soaked underwear off and then takes her dress from his mouth and has him rinse again with Listerine. Then she tells him it's time for him to meet his God. She straddles the chair, exposing her pussy. It has a crucifix hanging out of it. She tells him to bite the crucifix and watch.
With every inch that I move upwards, my pussy rejoices in the release of each rosary bead housed deep within her as it journeys from darkness into the dull yellow light. The jewelry now glistens with its new polish of my sweet dripping nectar. I gaze down at Father Craig. His head is tilted back on the seat, face dripping with sweat, blood, tears, mucus, and my delicious pussy juice. From his disgusting mouth hangs a clear crystal rosary coated with my pure milky foam. Pure milky foam.
Yeah.
Nectar.
She put a crucifix in her vagina.
She's crazy.
She winks at her camera, catching everything, and then stands, making him half swallow the rosaries. He vomits everywhere again, and she says, that won't do. Try again. Once it's halfway down his throat, she kicks him in the stomach with her sharp-ass heels, and he starts bleeding as he liquid shits himself.
Oh. Oh my God.
This confessional is very soundproof also.
That's insane.
He starts crying and she tells him to shut the fuck up. This is what you wanted. She puts her PVC dress back on and it's time for his confession. He confesses some pretty mild stuff at first, and one of them was taking the offering change to get a Coke from the soda machine. But she's like, that's not enough. Keep going. He paid for her to be here, so he needs to spill all the real sins. He looks genuinely confused, but she thinks that he's trying to break character. When she gets into how they're both in this situation, he again has no idea what she means because there's no Deacon David at this church. His name is Father Craig.
What is happening?
It's a setup.
He then confesses that he doesn't like some of the people that come in here. Take, for example, the woman before her with her crying baby. She changed this shitty diaper in here and it smells disgusting and he hates her for it. She's like, that's what the smell is. She grabs a shit diaper from the trash can and shoves the baby shit into his face and his mouth.
I'm like at a loss for words.
Sorry, still gotta follow through, my boy.
Mm-hmm. I'm making money, so.
Yeah. A job's a job,
this is happening.
And you might catch a charge, girl. Yeah. This is assault.
I think it's past that.
Yeah. I'm shocked.
As he struggles, she says, no, she knows who you are. You are Craig. You are not David, because I've done my homework. I know that this swamp-ass church has you here because it's the only way they can keep you out of sight, out of mind, with all the pedophile charges stacking up against you, Father Craig.
Oh, he's a pedophile.
Yeah, so all of a sudden you're like, yeah, keep going.
Yeah, do it.
Do more.
I was like, this poor man.
No.
No.
She continues to smear shit on his face and then uses her sharp-ass stiletto nails to pop both of his eyes. And so he has another bodily fluid running down him.
Ew.
She tells him to admit his fucking sins, and he does. He says, yes, I've done all the gross stuff, all the pedophile stuff. She steps away as he's slumped over and barely hanging on. She cleans herself with wipes and lays a clean towel down on a chair. She puts her knees up and starts touching herself. She recites his act of contrition as she touches herself, but she doesn't want to come yet. She stops, undresses, and grabs the actual crucifix from her bag.
I grip the wooden replica of Christ's torture and lightly drag its longest, jutted edge around my purest, most intimate hole. She begins to weep for the chiseled silver hanging man affixed to its surface. Her slick moisture spills onto the cold, sealed wood, providing lubrication for its newfound purpose. My wrist casts spells and grants the tip permission to dance lazy circles around my mini goddess's hungry, drooling mouth. All I can picture is the vagina from Big Mouth when she's like, hi, how are ya?
She starts fucking herself with it, and then she removes it to lick her own juices and blood off of it, because it does cut her, because it has metal on it.
Yeah, because it's sharp.
She tosses it to the side, rubbing her clit, and then she squirts all over Craig, blessing him, and then she stands and spits on him.
Nice.
She puts her mini dress back on, and she decides that playtime is now over. He's already admitted his sins and received absolution from her, so now it's time for his penance. It's gotta happen fast, because he's on the brink of death. And then with all of her might, she raises her foot and brings down her 7-inch heel stilettos down on his neck.
Yeah!
With her second foot, she just starts stomping all over his face.
Yeah.
Mushy.
And then she decides to walk down the length of his body, and the whole time she's just pissing on him while she walks back and forth.
When you gotta go, you gotta go.
Yeah. He's laying face down with his chonies to his ankles covered in blood and piss, and just to put the cherry on top of the situation, she takes the crucifix that she was playing with herself with and jams it straight in his asshole, leaving it sticking out of him. She's beyond pleased with her work, and she felt that it was only the perfect ending.
So she's a hitman.
I mean, in this situation, kind of. She's just like, I love this.
I'll kill this man.
Yeah. He had it coming.
Yeah.
Because she's in a confessional, and one side is like a murder scene, the other side's like murder free. She goes to the clean side and starts cleaning herself. She gets her murder shoes off. She removes her gloves and fishnets, and she throws them on the murder scene and then starts wiping her body down with baby wipes. And then she puts them all into that black lace bag that was originally provided for her. And once she's relatively clean, she redresses into yoga pants and a t-shirt and Converse, and then throws her hair up into a messy bun. She leans down on her phone, and this whole entire time, her boyfriend, not boyfriend, Parker, was watching her do this while in church, in the church service.
Oh my God, crazy.
Every chapter, it's a song that plays for the chapter, and Parker, like, speaks to her through music. He was, like, playing songs on her phone. They must share, like, a Spotify account or something. I'm not sure.
That's pretty serious.
Cute.
She grabs her tripod, and she ends the FaceTime call. Before leaving, she basically tells him wherever he goes and whatever suffering he endures, she hopes that he heals his sins, and she blesses the room with a cross, and then she leaves the confessional. As soon as she's out, she sees that the church is empty until a shadow walks towards her, and it's Parker. She drops her bags and runs straight into his arms, and they passionately smooch.
I can't touch him enough. I can't breathe him enough. I can't taste him enough. I just want to melt into him right here in front of the sanctuary and create a new heavenly being.
She's got a real big God complex going on.
Yeah. Also, girl, you already just killed a man in a church. Fuck him. Do it.
He pushes his ring card into her hand, and he tells her to be careful because he needs her, and he'll see her soon. Leaving out the back door, she grabs the suitcase that was stashed and pops open the trunk of her ride. She puts her bag with the murder evidence next to the suitcase and decides before she goes home to shower, she's got to get something to eat.
Might as well. You have so many gift cards to choose from.
I know.
And, you know, just a lot of money.
Yeah.
When Jessie's back in her hotel room, she gets the Cash App notification from Father Forgive Me for $45,000. And at this point, she's like, oh my God, like, thank you for the money, but leave me the fuck alone, because this person is just over the top. She's so over him. He messages her and he's basically like, mistress, you have changed my life.
My disgusting wife has been chugging down her morning semen-laced coffee and has been none the wiser. I've decided to continue this tradition thanks to you. Today, I will begin doubling my milking process so I may have enough for us both. My backup supply is running a bit low as I have not been able to replenish it due to the current hands-off policy you have enforced with me. It has also been very difficult to go about my days without the comfort of my sad cummies melting in my mouth. Ew. Fuck this guy.
Cummies.
Yucky.
I hate that word.
He goes on to tell her that he doesn't need comfort, though, and he wants to verify she's received his money and to get rid of her Cash App and to move her money into her bank because Cash App is for kids and it's not trustworthy. He then sends her another $6,666 to open a new Venmo account. She messages him back and she's like, listen here, you little loser swine. My money is safe. I don't know how you're so rich and how you can give me all of this, but it doesn't even matter because I deserve it.
You have my full permission to crawl back into your pathetic excuse for a life and play with your dangling bitch boy clitty all the fuck you want. Drink your sour cum, milk yourself dry. I don't give a fuck what you do. You are no longer my concern. Oh my God. Yeah.
She goes on to tell him once more that she granted him absolution and gave him his penance today, but in case his old memory's failing him, she does it once more. He replies back and tells her he's now going to leave this account, and though they will never interact again after this, he will remain her eternal slave. And then he sends her one last Cash App of $10,000 with a message saying, a drained pig.
He's like, that's all my money. Bye.
I would talk to him for however long he wants. He could be as annoying as he wants if he was giving me that much money.
100%. I'd be like, you're paying all my debt off. You're paying my car off. Thank you. Thank you. Help me with my mortgage.
Like, how's your day, loser?
Who else do you want me to kill, piggy?
Yeah.
Well, he's still acting like he was in the confessional. He's like, oh my God, that was so crazy.
Can't believe you killed me.
She was like, damn, and I thought I had issues. She finally goes to shower in a new dingy hotel and she strips naked in the bathroom. She puts all of her clothes in a trash can because they smell like death and baby shit. And then she drops it right outside her door, not wanting the smelly shit inside her hotel room. Okay, this part's so fucking weird. She showers and she starts shaking out her limbs like she's a boxer. Like she's like, and then she starts like slapping her body everywhere. She's like slapping herself across the face and slapping her tits and her pussy until she makes herself come. She's so fucking weird.
Okay.
Parker's still somehow controlling the music and she's coming to the music that he's playing. It's a very weird moment.
How are we here?
She's screaming and coming to the music and punching the shower wall until her fists are bleeding. I guess you just had to be there.
Drama.
Whoa, what a rush.
She probably did a little bit too much coke right before the hotel room.
Oh, yeah, she's 100%.
Like, yeah. She's like, you like that?
She also was calling her coke dope, so maybe she's like doing meth. I don't know.
Could be, the way she's acting.
Mm-hmm. We find out a little bit more about the backstory of the aftermath of the murder. So after she left and she got something to eat, Parker stayed behind and brought in a crew to deep clean the confessional. And this was something that he had lined up before the trip. So he knew that some shit was about to go down. She didn't plan on murdering him from the beginning, but when she found out why the deacon tried manipulating her and who she was really in the confessional with, it just kind of fell into her lap. And dead pedophiles don't reoffend.
Yeah.
Now she's driving deep into the swamps and she's drops off the dead body for the gators to eat and for the priest to never be found again. When Parker put that little card into her hand, he wrote down a destination and she pulls up to the destination that was on the card and it's an abandoned gas station / mechanic shop with one car outside. When she walks into the abandoned building, it's a whole dramatic entrance. Music starts blaring and it's a song about a goddess.
Oh.
There's like lights going.
Oh.
And they run into each other's arms and they smooch. He pulls away and he tells her he has a gift for her. He turns on a light and it lights up a spot in the middle of the room. And it's a lump with a tarp on the ground. When he removed the tarp, it's a naked, bound, seemingly lifeless man that lies in the fetal position. Jesse thinks that this is so romantic. She's like, for me? Oh my God. And then she's like, wait, is he dead? But Parker kicks him and then slowly the man comes to life. When the man makes eye contact with her, she starts laughing so hard, she just starts peeing and she just like lets herself pee on the ground.
She's a weird girl.
Yeah. She's hydrated though. She's been pissing this whole book.
Yeah.
It's the organist from the church, and his real name is David. And it turns out that David was the real Father Forgive Me.
Oh.
He's the organist, the choir director, the weekend CCD teacher, and the sole member of the Finance Committee Treasury Board and Financial Security for St. Margaret Mary's Catholic Church.
So he just spent all of the church's money.
Yeah.
On a dominatrix.
He's going to hell.
Yeah. That's why he was sending 666. He was like, fuck.
He's like, I'm already going. Might as well.
Everything he told her about his wife and kids was true, but that's how he had access to so much money. It was all the church's. It wasn't his own.
Damn.
And Jezzy is happier than a girl on Christmas morning. She's like, a bitch, you thought that was the last time we were going to see each other. But here you are in the flesh. And now we're going to have a field day. And she keeps calling him pig boy. She's like, bitch, you thought pig boy.
She's so mean.
Deacon David is gagged and bound and bleeding on the floor, and he's forced to watch Jezzy and Parker get freaky as Parker starts going down on her.
My mini goddess has been weeping for her long-awaited homecoming with his mouth. The reunion is feverish, eager, and fiery. The anguish from their long bouts of separation is becoming more unbearable with each parting. I can breathe again now that his wet tongue is forcing my ass cheeks apart, cleaning the sticky sweat I've been uncomfortably sitting in for hours.
He's eating her swamp ass.
Yeah, stanky.
And she's like, lick every last drop.
Look at my butt juice.
Also, yeah. She's just been pissing her pants. There's pee-pees down there.
Parker loves it.
Yeah. I think pee is like the last of their worries.
Yeah. Yeah.
As Parker goes to get the supplies, Jezzy decides to play a little with David. She takes off her thong and takes off David's ball gag. She lines herself, her pussy, like over his mouth and then says, open.
He opens his mouth wide and I stick two fingers deep in my vagina, hooking them under the plastic disc nestled inside, removing it. As it exits my body, a thick, heavy stream of useless uterine blood and cells falls out of me and plops inside his mouth. With it, I release a steady, potent stream of piss straight into his pathetic, gaping maw. It splashes up into his nose and dribbles down his chin and cheeks. He coughs and chokes on the bitter, slimy, bloody urine shot directly into the back of his throat.
Ugh. So she had a period cup in and she pulled it out and then peed on him.
A diva cup for the diva.
Yeah. I don't know why, but like period blood, maybe because I think of it being like so clumpy because, you know, it is. That's what gets me. I'm like, bleh.
Yeah.
No.
He's got little chewy bits in it.
Stop it. Stop it right now.
End the episode.
Yeah. Bye, guys.
See you next week. As he's choking on it, she shoves her thong into his mouth and then she uses her heel to shove it down his throat. So that way he's like literally choking on all of that shit. Ugh. And then she puts the ball gag over it.
Oh, God.
She starts really fucking him up here. She kicks his face in and stomps on his nuts until they literally burst. It's very descriptive.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
It gets real disturbing here. Like, it's very descriptive and it's very disturbing. David is clinging on for his life and she lets loose. She's like, how dare you try to use me to sexually torture someone? Do you think I'm a fucking idiot? And she was so mad that he used her. And she said that he was lower than the priest that raped him, which I think is wild because he hired her because he was abused by the priest.
Oh.
As a child.
Yeah. She's like, you're worse than the rapist, which I think is wild.
Well, after you find out, like, what he did, I'm kind of like, yeah, maybe you are.
They're both straight up torturing him now, and I will spare you all the gross details, but it is very descriptive, and it is straight torture. There's a screwdriver and lube involved. I'll let your imagination run wild with that.
Oh, my goodness.
After they're kind of done torturing him, she snorts some dope, and then she decides that she wants to interrogate him.
After?
Yeah.
Maybe you should have done that before, but
all right.
She's like, so instead of focusing on your children and your family, she says 6 years ago, he decided to pack up their lives of where they were. They moved back to his hometown where he was abused to seek revenge on the man that abused him and let the revenge consume him. And that's what he chose to waste his life on. And like, not only that, but he let his children fall under prey to the same priest, and his children were also being abused and he knew about it.
Ew.
So he could get his revenge. He, like, sacrificed his own children.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, kill him.
And she's projecting all of her anger hella bad on him. And she's like, instead of telling anyone, you decide to plot in secret. Because the whole time when they were chatting before, he was like, I've been waiting so long for this. And she's like, instead of saying anything to anyone else, you decided to spend all of the church's money and let your children continue to be abused.
Mm-hmm. Piece of shit.
Spent like 6 years knowing this guy was abusing every child that came across him.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
And she's popping the fuck off. Like, she's losing her shit. And at the end of it, and she's like, by the way, your shoes are fucking gay.
Yeah. Get them where it hurts.
After getting all of her feelings out, she tortures him more. And I said again, I'm not going to go into details of it because it's so disturbing. But it's very graphic and it's literally torture. So if you want to read it, it's chapter 24. And finally, she kills him. With the high of the drugs and the high of killing fake deacon, now dead David, her and Parker start getting down and dirty, and she starts rubbing his dick over his pants. With her back to Parker's front, she's like bumping and grinding on him while throwing cement bits at David's dead body. So she's like stoning him.
He's already dead.
Yeah, and he's dead.
And she's just stoning him.
She's still screaming at the top of her lungs.
Parker's just like, get it, girl. I love you.
Yeah. Yes, queen. Shoving his hand into my soaking pussy, I continue. God's truth. I'm not lying. Rubbing and groping my pussy with his hand, I fill it with my foamy goddess milk.
It's really getting her going.
Yeah.
She's so foamy.
She's very foamy. She's got a lot of milk.
Yeah.
So as he's fingering her, he starts picking up some cement rubble, and together they start stoning his dead body. And then they start dancing in a circle, and they're not wearing shoes, so their feet start bleeding, and they're like stoning him and dancing in a circle around his dead body because they're fucking weirdos and they're high.
Yeah, mental illness.
A match made in heaven.
There really is someone out there for everyone.
Truly.
Uh-huh.
Tonight, something overcame Jezzy. She's never felt more alive in her entire life. Her and Parker lay next to each other. They didn't even have sex or take each other's clothes off. They just lay next to each other, taking in the glorious moment, and fall asleep. We're in the epilogue, and it's a week later. They're safe and together and healing from the wounds they endured from torturing David in the abandoned building. And when Parker wakes up, she decided that they're going to give back most of the money that dead David sent to her, and they're going to give it back to the church because it wasn't his to give away. The end.
Wow, a good deed.
I wouldn't give that money back.
No, I'd fucking keep that.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was not his money.
Girl, you don't even know if you're in the clear. You might need to hire a lawyer.
Yeah, I would keep all that.
Yeah.
I got bills to pay.
So, Riley, how many red pepper emojis do you give this one?
I do like these kinds of books, but this one wasn't my favorite. I don't know why. I'll give it 3.5.
Okay.
It was cool. It was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what did you guys think of it?
I gave it a 2, only because I like the female rage. That's my favorite part of the book. I don't like the splatter punkness of it. I just don't think that's my jam.
That's fair.
But I do like that she was mean to men, because I also like to be mean to men.
Yes.
I couldn't rate it because I hated it so much. It just wasn't for me. And usually I'm not a hater. I am usually, if I'm entertained at all, I'm like 4 stars. But it was just not for me.
Okay.
I gave it a 3.5. I was entertained by it. I like that pedophilic men died in a horrible way. And we love to see that. A woman taking charge of her life.
Love it.
Getting what she wants. Bettering her future.
Mm-hmm.
Making money moves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Getting that bag.
Yeah, she was in charge. No third act breakup.
No third act breakup. That. You're right. It was a third act get together.
It was, yeah.
Beautiful.
Well, next week, we're telling Riley all about The Morningwood Tree by Siggy Shade. And we're going to have her look at the cover and give us her best guess on what it might be about.
I don't fucking know. We have like a scary looking tree man on the cover. I'm thinking forest, because a tree. Girl wanders into forest. Why she's there, I don't know. But she's there. And she meets this man that's a tree.
Like Lord of the Rings.
I was just going to say, every time you keep saying tree man, I'm just thinking of Lord of the Rings.
Tree beard.
Oh my God.
I feel like he would be the nicest boyfriend.
Yeah.
He would be. He was a pretty nice guy.
Oh, yeah.
But she meets him, and he's actually kind of nice. but like gruff.
It's like tree beard.
Yeah. And he takes her back to his area because he is the leader of his tree people.
Like tree beard.
Like yeah, tree beard. Shit.
Then he has to save Middle Earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. He has to take the girl to Mordor to throw the ring into the fire.
No, guys, I'm being serious here. Oh, okay, sorry. But they have to marry each other, so they marry. They don't really like each other in the beginning, but they have to do it for some type of magic purpose. But then they fall in love with each other.
And have saplings?
Yes. Little saplings. Little sticky saplings. And they live in the tree clan together.
Is he fully a tree?
No. Head is trunk and tree. Torso. Trunk-like, but still a torso. Legs somewhat normal, but his entire body feels like a tree trunk.
Oh my god, that's so scary.
What about his dick?
It's a normal-sized man dick. Normal dick. Normal man dick. Well, I guess it's going to be big. Whatever. It's going to be a big normal man dick, but it's going to feel like wood. Polished.
He's just walking around with tree dong out.
Yeah. But it does go flaccid. Magic is in the book. I told you. Well, how'd I do?
I mean, there's a tree and she does wander into a forest.
I'll take it.
We'll find out more next week.
Yes.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at Smut Up and Listen Podcast and on TikTok at Smut Up and Listen.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.